see all of you again. I thought this morning I just might open up. I'm assuming perhaps that you all know the cartoonist Michael Rooney.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I understand he passed away just recently, but I want to read one of his prayers today as an opening. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray for another way of being, another way of knowing. Across the difficult terrain of our existence, we have attempted to build a highway, and in doing so, have lost our footpath. God, lead us to our footpath. Lead us there where, in simplicity, we may move at the speed of natural creatures and feel the earth's love between our feet. Lead us there where, step by step, we may feel the movement of creation in our hearts. And lead us there where, side by side, we may feel the embrace of the common soil. Nothing can be loved at speed. God, lead us to know the slow path, to the joyous insight of the pilgrim, another way of knowing, another way of being. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I've been asked to share on a little subject called love. And I'm not entirely sure how I can do that in minutes, but I promise you I will do my best to honour this platform and you and communicate what I feel or how I feel God has asked me to.
I just couldn't remember if that was there, sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Something is here, it's a little gadget. It's got numbers. Love is a word that we've tossed around a lot. In English, we can usually use the common words like, I love chocolate, I love my mum, I love my car. We can put that word love just in front of everything. In my language and also in the biblical culture, it's a nonsensical thing. It doesn't make sense to say, I love chocolate. It's always towards another person. So you can't shift it out of that domain. It stays there. And so for that reason, we have to spend a little bit more time and settle a little bit more on what love may be. And I want to come at it a little differently. Those of you who know me, I always do. And I want to come at it from the perspective of love, not so much as a verb, but more so as a noun. Because we read in the scripture that God is love. Doesn't say he has love, it says he is love. It's the personification of it. And that means that's something I need to aspire to, something you need to aspire to. Perhaps we're not always successful, but we do our best. And I'm going to start at 1 Corinthians 12. Some of this might be familiar. In fact, it should all be familiar to you. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but all of them, and in everyone, is the same God at work. Now to each one is the manifestation of the Spirit. It is given for the common good. It is given for the common good. It's so important to remember that. Nothing that God gives is for personal exploitation. It is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, we're talking about wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Still another, interpretation of tongues. All these work are the work of one and the same Spirit as he distributes them, just as he determines. So here we are, we have been given and endowed with wonderful supernatural gifts, in and through the Holy Spirit, which testify to the name of Jesus. And through the name of Jesus, we hear the testimony of God the Father. Then he goes on. He says something interesting. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, if it were not for that reason, be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, would it not for that reason stop being part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And it is there that it is there. And as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving a greater honour to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but these parts should have equal concern for another. So we have this divine gifting coming from God, issued by Holy Spirit, and he organises and arranges those parts as he determines. Simply, what Paul is saying there, if I'm going to condense it, I need you to be me, we need each other to be us. And that's an important thing, because no part of the body has supremacy over any other part. So we begin with the spiritual gifts, then we are arranged and organised in such a way that each one complements the other, so that the body of Christ may be full and complete, united for the common good, so that when we speak to the world, we speak with one voice, even though we may have very separate or different functions. There is no discernible difference between your voice and my voice out in the world. But just as the gospel binds us together as a body of believers, this body of believers is called to minister to the world out there. And then something amazing happens. You have spiritual gifts, or manifestations, as the Greek would put it. Then you have the body functioning cooperatively and symphonically, and all of that comes down to 1 Corinthians 13, is couched in love. So if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries, and have all knowledge, and I have faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Keeps no records of wrong. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, love always perseveres, love never fails. These 16 attributes that Paul decided was going to pen down is a description not of the behaviour of love, but the person, the being who you are. Here I have a sorrowful little flower, and my apologies now to whoever's going to clean this floor. I'll do my best to clean up afterwards. But what would you call this?
A weed.
A weed, okay. Oh, it's a weed. Let's for now call it a flower. And if I had a bunch of these with different colours, I would go to my wife and say, "Here, honey, happy birthday." Yeah? What if I did this? Is that a flower? What think ye?
Was a flower.
Was a flower, now it is components, isn't it? And that's what happens to love when you dismember it. When you take patience out of love, it becomes less of. If you take rudeness, the fact that love is not rude, out of love, it diminishes it. Take love is not arrogant out, love is kind. Love is, yeah, it diminishes it, diminishes it. Yet I find in my own humanity it is not possible for me to maintain all of these attributes, so I rely on you. So as an impatient Greek, when I say, "Oh, come on, get out of my way," the one who is patient will sit next to me and say, "Jim, slow down. Be patient. That driver might be having a real bad day." Well, shouldn't be having a bad day. Imagine my day, pretty bad too. Get out of the way. It's 110, it's not 50. What's wrong with him? "Jim, slow down. It's okay. Meet a beggar on the street. Why don't you go and get a job? Jim, you need to be kind. Show some kindness. Show some empathy. Show some compassion. Can you see? Not all of us, it's unrealistic for all of us to be able to maintain and sustain patience, kindness, non-jealousy, no bragging, no arrogance, no rudeness, no self-seeking, no anger, and keep no record of wrong. Boy, I got the negatives from last year's Christmas party. Have I got some stories to tell you? Did you hear about? Yeah, sometimes I go. I went into the supermarket one day, and you know how they have the lady at yourself self checkout to make sure that everything's going through fine. Pulled her off to one side and I said, "Did you know that your boss is a real arrogant pig?" And she said, "What?" She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, it's just a bagging error, isn't it?" So anyway, it's the bagging area. And the very first words of 1 Corinthians 14 are, follow the way of love. And so where there is diminishment in me, I will look to you. And where there is diminishment in you, you will look to me. We will look to each other. This is how the body cooperates symphonically. This is how the body in love functions in a way that speaks with one language to our community, to our communities. We are a spiritually endowed community, given something that we could possibly never understand with our intellect. My wife was a florist in her early years, and she would make wonderful arrangements. She has an acute sense of colour, and so she was well sought out for weddings in particular in those years. Once in a while, we'd be invited to someone's place for dinner, and my wife Janie, she has certain allergies and finds it difficult to, you know, eat out. So she's made a plan in herself just to bring a little food for herself and then sit in the lounge quite comfortably rather than sitting with us in the dining room in front of an empty plate, which would be awkward, but that's what we did. Inevitably, when we go to someone's house, you walk in and they open the door and there's a bunch of flowers. And it is stunning. It is the most beautiful bunch of flowers you could ever see. And Jamie starts twitching. She's like this, twitching, twitching. And she would go to the host and she would say, "I love your flowers. Do you mind if I kind of arrange them?" "Sure you can. Be my guest." So Jamie would go outside with a pair of scissors, cut little bits here and out of their garden, and come back. And while we're eating dinner, she's making this arrangement. Dinner is over, we've had dessert, we move into the lounge room and we have a cup of coffee and a cigar. No, just kidding. We have a cup of coffee. And there is that beautiful arrangement just sitting there saying, look at me. But something different has happened. Because of Janie's acute sense of colour, she was able to make that arrangement in such a way that it complemented the surroundings. It no longer became the primate and dominant feature of the room. It now became a something which invited the entire room into existence. So it matched the carpeting with the pictures on the wall, with what the colours, it just blended in such a way that it was complementary to the whole. This is what happens when love operates in us, along with the spiritual gifts, along with all that wonder and splendour that we love to sing about. It comes in and you are no longer the central theme figure. You are now blended in and all of the room has a voice. Your voice is not more than mine, and mine is not yours. I mean, it could be that I hold the microphone, so, you know, get over it. But that's all I do. That's all I am. That by no means that your voice has a diminishment, is diminished in every way. There is a kind of wisdom that is divine that comes into a people that have learned to yield one to the other out of reverence for one another, in the mercy of God, in the grace of God, for the sake of love, so that when we speak with clarity. We speak with a voice that is so assertive, a voice that is resolved, it's resolute in nature. And we speak the name of Jesus in such a way where we're not convincing the other, but we are demonstrating his gracious love through the words that we speak. And we say things like, your words are like honey on my lips. When a rabbi would hear something profound from one of his students, he would take honey. He would dip his finger in his honey and rub it on the student's lips to remind him, your word is like sweet honey in my mouth, on my lips. That's the way he did it, and he just loved it. But there's a wisdom there. A wisdom is a very interesting word. We hear a lot of it in Scripture. We have the wisdom of Solomon, which is wisdom that has been handed down by someone else's experience, yeah? We have wisdoms and wise sayings in our own culture. What goes up must come down. What goes around must come around. We get that kind of wisdom. In some circles, it's called common wisdom. It doesn't mean it's not wisdom. It's just wisdom. But the kind of wisdom that that God gives us through Christ is different. Jesus uses a very different word in the New Testament. You probably know the parable of the wise man who built his house on the rock. The word Jesus uses there in Matthew 7 is phronimo. I'm not going to ask you to repeat it. When I tell off my children, and now my grandchildren, I would say katsikronima, which means sit down wisely. What the word means is to have the kind of insight where you observe what's going on around you, and then make decisions and act accordingly as led by the Spirit. What a beautiful word it is. We see it in Matthew 7, we see it in Matthew 10, we see it in Matthew 25, Romans 11, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 11. Like, be wise, be as wise as a serpent, yet be phronimo as a serpent. Well, how does a snake attend to its prey? Slithers, waits, looks around, wonders if birds are around, because birds are a natural predator, then goes for its prey accordingly. In Matthew 25, the wise virgins. Five of them had oil, and they knew what was going to happen, so they brought more. The other five, can I have some oil? No, get nicked, get your own, buy those up the street. Yeah, can you see? They observe the environment. This is the kind of wisdom, this is the kind of strength that God has given us and confidence has given us, so that we may be able to look at what's going on in the world and not react but respond to it. And we've got very good reason to react to a lot of things that are happening in society today. But God hasn't called a church to be reactive in society. God has called the church to be responsive in society. to be gracious administrators of his word and allow his spirit to speak. So on earth, there are people who are phronimi. You people are the kinds of people that when you go out into your society and into your community, into your own workplaces and spaces, where you look and observe and act accordingly. In my workplace many years ago, we had a little fishbowl. And there was one little goldfish in there, all alone, swimming around. And one day, came into the office, and the poor little fish was belly up, floating. And it was, you know, as the Greeks say, desabalos. Finita la musica, passata la fiesta. That's the music is finished, the feast is over, in Spanish, if you wanted to know. Anyway, so I went back to my desk, I sat down, and then I hear this noise, and I turn around, there's this girl who claimed to be a Christian, but she had a hand in the bowl, and she's praying for the fish to come back to life. I'm thinking, like, come home. I mean, what does that do? Honestly, the stupid things like that going on. I mean, all right, she had a bit of faith and stuff, but a fish. I mean, really, a little goldfish. It's probably in heaven, wouldn't want to come back. Like, come on. The point I'm making is, if it was a child, I'd understand it. But a grown woman in an office that designs the IT network for, you know, for our telecommunications and internet infrastructure, you think to yourself, she's done 5 years university, and the best thing she can do is demonstrate by putting her hand in a bowl and praying over a dead fish. I never had any paraphernalia on my computer. I never did anything like that, but people knew. When the office joke went around, they never sent it to me because somehow they knew Jim wouldn't appreciate filthy jokes. Whenever there was problems in the workplace, people would come to me and say, Jim, my boss has asked me to do this and this and this, and I've just come out of an operation, a hernia operation. I don't really know how to handle it. Can I talk with you? And people would come and talk with me. By the last 2 years of my work in Telstra, I was made ship's counsellor. Somehow people knew that when we come and sit with the wisdom that God has given Jim, do you think I was trembling on my feet when some people came with some of the business, multi-billion dollar decisions that came to me. How do I function in this space? And yet somehow I know God. Do you know how I got that encouragement to be able to do something like that? My church family. From the people I sat with every Sunday and prayed with. From the people I walked with day and day, who were walking, companioning with me in faith, gave me some scope, some dimension for me to understand this thing called faith, talking to a very silent God, like, come on. Yet I could hear his voice through the voices of the people that were partnering with me, that were walking with me. People that you would never expect would come up with a word that would satisfy the hunger in your own soul. We are these people. We are bound together, a tapestry of expression, every one of you. Never allow anybody for any reason to diminish the capacities that you have, that God has endowed you with. All you need to do is acknowledge them and surrender them with wisdom, with phronimi, phronimo wisdom, with the wisdom that says, I am going to walk into this space and I will observe, I will look. Jesus has got his arms crossed at the temple and he's watching people coming in, putting in the money for whatever it was they were putting in for their tithe. And he's watching and he's watching and he's going, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. And this little lady comes along, she sticks in a penny. And Jesus goes, whoa, that woman gave more than anyone else. Because he was looking at the hearts of others that were coming into this particular synagogue. What did it say? What did he see? People that gave out of abundance. I remember one time, I got foot and mouth disease, you probably know that. We're sitting in an oversight meeting and we were talking about tithing. And somebody said, look, you know, after all, it's the Lord's money overall. Oh, I've got to be, it's not the Lord's money. If it was, I'd be paying back a loan. It's my money. And when I give my money away, then it's sacrifice. You see, God gave me these things. He's given me power to live, to breathe, to exert power in my community and in my society. What I do with that power must be yielded to God through Christ in the Holy Spirit. I must function in a way so that I can share the good news with people that come my way. Recently, I've been involved in the homosexual community, and I tell you, there are people in that community that are really hungering for something that, for whatever reason, they feel excluded from. I will confess, I've no idea what I'm doing. I got my, you know, my little kids' boots on. I'm doing it very, very slowly, but I'm watching and I'm listening. Because these are areas of contention. Our society is not as simple as it used to be. Our society is very, very complex, interwoven with personal ideas and opinions. The most narcissistic people in the world are living and rallying against the church these days, and oftentimes we react. But I would ask you this, in love, love gives you the power to be patient. Gives you the power to be kind, not to be jealous or braggarts, not arrogant or rude, not self-seeking. You are not easily angered, you keep no record of wrongs. That's a big one, especially living in a Greek family. I remember what you did in Christmas back in 1753. You let the sheep on the spit burn just because you're upset with your dad. Yeah. Keeps no record of wrongs. Think about it. It's not self-seeking. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. And love never fails. In any situation, that is, that last one, love never fails, is most likely the most potent aspect of love that challenges me in every situation, because I meet people of all kinds, all colours, all brands, all makes. I'm involved in situations there are no way that any human mind could fathom. Only the Spirit of God can guide and lead them. When I was in Israel, we went to the temple, and the temple is organized in such a way where you walk up a step, then there's a long step, you walk up a few more steps, then there's a long step. We're not entirely sure, but we think the idea was to invoke a time of prayer. So pray, 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 and pause. In the Old Testament, we read Selah. Take a breath. Step, 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 take a breath. One day, it was very hot. We went to a cafeteria area just not far down from where the temple was. I bought myself a Coke and I walked over to the temple and I sat on one of the steps there. And this a team from the United States came in. The pastor was there. He had his shofar. He was telling his group how when Jesus comes down and Gate Beautiful is open, it's all blocked off. He'd open it, blah, 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 on and on and on. And I'm going... Nothing. If you could hear my brain, it'd be making... That's the sound. One of the girls from the group comes out. She sits next to me. And we said hi. I said hi, blah, blah, blah. It's a hot day. And then she leans over and she says, do you think Jesus was a Christian? Now, I'm short-circuiting. You know, like my brain's just like, what do I do with that? Jesus was a Christian. Like, what church do you go to? Controversial, no doubt. So I sat down, I took a deep breath, took another sip of my Coke. I looked at her and I said, no, I think he was the first Jehovah's Witness. She said, do you think? Well, we always talked about Jehovah. He said, I don't do anything except for what my father tells me. And everything I do, my father has told me, and his name is Jehovah. She said, you're right. I'm going to go and tell my pastor. And I went whoop, whoop, back into my group. I just disappeared through that bombing. Think of what this person's mind is wrapped around, of how they're communicating the gospel. How they would sit with somebody and wonder whether Jesus was a Christian, or wonder whether Jesus had shoes, or wonder whether Jesus smoked cigarettes. I don't know. Things that don't matter, but when you travel the path of love, knowing that love never fails, and you are endowed with the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And then those are synchronously combined within the body of Christ such that when you walk out into the world to say, well, I'm not a preacher, how do I talk to that person? Then don't. Find out what your expression is. And glass of water. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me. Whatever you did not do to the least of these, you did it to me. Think about it. It's reciprocal. It's not individual. Everything you do is endowed by God's Spirit, wonderfully, wonderfully empowered by Him. In Romans 8, we read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. Considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors. We focus on that, don't we? We do a lot of focus on that. I am more than a conqueror. And then we go home and we get conquered by something and wonder, what happened? Where's my Prozac? I need one. And that's the reality of life. This is how we function. I would encourage you, don't think that way. Because in your quiet moment, in your most defeated moment, you're the greatest. There's no doubt in my mind about that. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. There is no greater love. For I am convinced neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Think about it. He talks about death, life, angels, demons, present, future, powers, height, and depth. Then he says anything else. He might as well just said anything else because it covers everything. Nothing else in all creation, nothing else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Nothing. Nothing. So when hardships strike, when you seem to be failing as an individual, you seem to be going through a struggle in life, don't let faith become the first casualty. Stand up and say, there is nothing in this world that can separate me from the love of Christ, and I will bear this burden gracefully. And I will trust that my community will stand with me and by me, because that's the nature and the character of love. It's kindness. It's beauty. Not keeping any records of wrongs. Patient with me. That can carry me in my day so that I can walk through this carefully. The mystics say, hold on to your suffering until you have learned what it has to teach. And I'm reminded of that every day, because it is only in suffering we grow. In troubled times do we mature and gather. The word for mature in Greek is telios, which means to be whole, to be complete. If in Jerusalem we often hear the word shalom, peace be with you, yeah? But oftentimes you hear them say, shalom, shalom. They say it twice. It's a blessing. It means may the wholeness of God be upon you. How beautiful is that? It opens up the benevolence of God, who loved this world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him has the tiniest amount of faith with Him, as small as a mustard seed. A mustard plant was considered a weed in Israel. Spread like a weed, so that we may have eternal life. Think about the love and the compassion of God, and then when He shows that on you, start by showing it to each other, especially after your family members, because it's hard to show love to your own family members. It really is, especially if they treated you really badly. But it's amazing what God turns around. We are a cooperative body of people, supernaturally endowed. We are fueled to be a light to the world through the love of God in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. For here, the word means order. You have been given spiritual grace, authority, and words to bring order to the world. Think about it. And that happens through love. Because Paul himself says it right back here. He says, if I speak in tongues and of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am nothing. So if I, as a minister of God, as one who walks with other people who are struggling in life, have no sense of love or compassion, I am nothing, no matter how true my words may be. Because love carries them through. And love is God. God is patient. God is kind. He is not jealous. He does not brag. He's not arrogant. He's not rude. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He does not keep record of wrongs. He doesn't delight in evil, rejoices with the truth. Always protects. He can always be trusted. Hope, the Greek elpis, it means to anticipate with pleasure. What a beautiful word that is. Always hopes. I will always anticipate with pleasure, even those family members I've written off as, I'm not telling you, as. Always perseveres. Love never fails. Think of who you are. You might think you're inept. I disagree. Find someone in this body that says you're not inept and listen to them. Companion with someone here and walk with them. I've got people that have companioned with me for nearly 30 years. And once or twice a month we meet and we talk and their faith is built. Build each other up. Love is the only way that the gospel can be communicated. You can preach doctrine. You can preach theology. You can teach it till the cows come home. And I'll tell you something, the cows will come home. But you do that through love, everything changes. Because it's not you that changes. It's God's Spirit that proceeds from the words, the spoken word. I hope today I've encouraged you to think of yourselves as something more than just a warm butt on a seat. That you are in fact a repository of God's love, of God's purpose, of God's function. And that when you speak it genuinely, through the eyes of love, that your words have authority, divine authority. No matter how much of a simpleton you may think you are, or how much of an intellect you may be. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for these people. You hold each one in your hand. You guide them and you lead them. You give them gifts. You give them strength. Help them to be wise in their weaknesses. Let them see that you are with them even in those dark moments. When they feel that they are worthless, when they feel they have nothing to offer, speak to them your divine love. Let them enjoy being in your presence. But let that be a little step forward to being present with you. Not merely to be comfortable with being in your presence, but moving closer to be ever present with you. Speak to them one-on-one when they lay their head down to sleep, and somewhere between asleep and awake, you, O Lord, will speak with them, comfort them, give them peace. I pray these things in the name of the Father, Lord Yahuwah, in the name of the Son, Yesu Christo, and in the name of the breath of the Word, your Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you and thank you.